ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden trails former President Trump by 7 points in a hypothetical head-to-head matchup, according to the latest ABC News Washington Post poll. That poll also found that 40% of people said they would blame the president and congressional Democrats if the government shuts down next week, even though it's Republicans in the House who've been unable to agree to a spending deal. ABC's Alexis Christophorus explains the impacts of a possible shutdown.
Government workers deemed essential, such as military and law enforcement, would have to work without pay, though they would get back pay once the shutdown was over. National parks could shut down unless their states pay to keep them open, and some passport offices and federal buildings could also close.
President Biden will visit striking UAW workers this week. Talks continue in California between striking writers and Hollywood studios, increasing optimism that a deal could be close. And 5 people were killed when a train slammed into an SUV in Hillsborough County, Florida. This is ABC News. One person's in critical condition after a shooting Saturday at the Oklahoma State Fair. Oklahoma City Police Captain Valerie Littlejohn says,
"We did get 2 people into custody right now that we're trying to determine their involvement. It is believed one of those is the shooter."
There's another warning about the conflict between Azerbaijan and ethnic Armenians in the breakaway region of Nagorno-Karabakh. Armenia's foreign minister, Arat Mazoyan, said Azerbaijan's blockade into the territory impedes food, medical supplies, and other essentials to the region, with about 120,000 people living in it.
A number of international human rights organizations, lawyers, genocide scholars, reputable independent experts, including the former ICC prosecutor and the former special advisor of the UN Secretary General on the prevention of genocide, have already characterized the situation on the ground in Nagorno-Karabakh as a risk of genocide.
Brian Clark, ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There's a bill in Congress to curb corporate ownership of agricultural land. Mark Moran has more now on the Farmland for Farmers Act.
As farmers start to retire, more than 40% of U.S. farmland will change hands in the next decade. But it might not wind up with young farmers who want to farm. Hannah Breckbill with Decorah-based Humble Hands Farms in northeast Iowa says out-of-state corporations buy the land and rent it to the highest bidder, keeping it out of local hands and driving land prices sky high.
Land prices have been going up and up and up. In my career as a farmer, which is not very long, only about a decade, I've seen land prices more than double. And we need farmers to be on the ground owning land.
The Farmland for Farmers Act would restrict corporate investment, and supporters hope it is adopted as part of the new farm bill scheduled to be debated this month. Breckbill also helps overwhelmed young farmers find land in Iowa, and being a young farmer herself, has firsthand experience with navigating the daunting land acquisition process. She believes farmland should be making a natural transition into the hands of beginning local farmers.
We know how to farm. We have the skills. We have the knowledge. We have the capacity. We have the energy. We just don't have the capital to be able to access the land.
The National Family Farm Coalition, which supports the Farmland for Farmers Act, released a fact sheet showing the average price of an acre of farmland in the U.S. has climbed to $3,800, the highest it has been since the 1970s. This is Mark Moran Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions, but he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
And Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated. Educators talking education.
Welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. And if you're out there and you want to talk education, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Johnny Lupinacci, look at that, man. You got to hide in that hair.
The classroom today.
I see that, man. Truly coming from the classroom. And truly an educated educator who was just educating educators, right?
Right. We got our teacher, future teachers back on campus here, you know, getting ready to, you know, put in their last big push before their classroom teachers. So it's an exciting time here at WSU.
Cool, man. Well, okay, so we've had some great guests, some great conversations, and again, you know, pushing the extended podcast that is coming on after the shows. Man. A lot of stuff going on here with Busted Pencils, a lot of fun, and, you know, we actually, so it's like, hey, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? It doesn't matter sometimes as long as you're doing it, because the extended pod for tonight's show is already done. We just haven't released it yet. I know. Look at producer.
You say, Ani, which comes like, first, the chicken or the egg?
I'll eat the
chicken and I'll eat the egg. We got the podcast ready.
We got it ready to go. The extended pod. And we had two great guests on the extended pod. Paul Thomas, Radical Scholarship. Check him out. John Warner out on John, you always check him out, Inside Higher Education, teaching, writing. ChatGPT has been on the show many times. But Johnny, there was a piece that kind of sparked our conversation.
Ignited a fire
from one of our favorite friends, Michael Petrilli at the Fordham Foundation.
I
like to make friends on this show, as people know. A bridge back to bipartisan education reform, a generation at risk, a call to action. And according to Michael Petrilli, my goodness, the 90s through the 2010s, what a wonderful time they were. For anybody who's trying to remember that, check it out. What was going on? No Child Left Behind. Who could forget all of those kids that were standing there about to be left behind? No, they were not left behind. They were brought up. Well, I don't know. And then when they weren't, when some of them were left behind, racing to the top, grabbing all of those students, racing to the top to get there. And I don't know what happened when they got there. But those were the glory days of education reform, when Republicans and Democrats, when everybody in the world agreed, public schools were failing miserably. And we need to turn over teaching, testing to privateers, marketeers, and let's test kids like crazy. Let's punitively punish teachers, because those days were awesome. Johnny, I mean, no. Is that a good summary of Petrilli's piece?
I mean, that's your boy. I mean, that's a good summary of it, you know, but if you listen, if you just tuned in and you hear, you know, my co-host, you know, like you know, espousing those ideas, he's doing it with a heavy dose of sarcasm. Education reform has been, largely unsupportive of good education for decades now, maybe even longer. And so that's the summary, really, is, Petrelli's piece is just trying to shine a turd of ed reform. So,
there you go. I love the visual image for radio, because we can't smell the turd on radio,
right,
but we
just
shine the turd. What would that turd be you were talking about, Johnny?
Yeah, the bipartisan educational reform efforts that, in our extended pod that we'll have releasing, our guests really spoke to the fact that, whether it was Republican or Democrats, that the effort by and large was to create more market opportunities in education and not to, to better serve learners or to, help reinforce good teaching.
Well, I mean, so yeah, we know that, but I mean, he goes on and says, like, look, these were good times. Math achievement, rose from the No Child Left Behind race to the top when everybody got along, when, like I said, when all Democrats and all Republicans all together believed in destroying American public education. And Petrilli's worried, though, when we think about this, and we want to set this up because this will lead us into another piece we're going to talk about, and really, as we said with our guest, Paul and John, we'll really dig into this. But Democrats, my God, because you keep hearing us, and tonight is a bipartisan show. We are going to bipartisanly go after both parties, because both parties, sometimes what we do here on Busted Pencils, because my neighbor likes it, is when we don't pick sides and we beat up on all sides, because when all sides are beating up on our kids, on our schools, and doing things to our teachers, that's why we have Busted Pencils. Oh, my God, Johnny, it makes me excited to think about it. If you're out there, you want to jump in, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. In fact, I'll put this out there. If you are, living for the glory days of No Child Left Behind, you want a taste of that, bringing it back, we want to hear from you, 844-967-2789. If you were successful at racing to the top, please call in and give us the testimony, because, there are people out there that are saying, bring it back. Now, the whole idea, though, of bring it back actually should cause people to say, what is it that Michael Petrilli is really concerned about? Is he really concerned about the fact that things used to be good when everybody agreed to do really horrible things to kids, schools, and teachers, like ridiculously test them and then punish them and then take away things from them when they didn't do as well, or when kids who already came to the test and didn't have their needs met before they came to the test, again, we again called them losers and we left them behind. All of that is erased. Because those were the good old days, things were good. Is Petrilli, so Johnny, I want to ask this question. We didn't do this on the extended pod that people were going to release probably tomorrow, but is this, he talks as if the reform movement is over. And I just wonder that question, we didn't really go into this. I still don't see any reduction in state level testing, in constantly yelling at teachers for not bringing up test scores. In fact, since COVID, we've been really focused on learning loss, the disaster. The only way we could technically measure learning loss would be through testing. What does Petrilli want to really bring back is the question, Johnny.
You asking me, Tim?
I am. Well, you're.
Oh, man.
Last time I checked, you were Johnny.
Keep those markets open. He just wants to keep saying, how come stuff that schools have proverbially bought or purchased as solutions, states, districts, and schools, they haven't worked. And so we got to mark a new era so that new products can be, applied and sold to districts as solutions. So, I think it's more of the same, Tim. It's not really an end of an era. It's just a shift in language.
But see, now John Warner, our guest, though, really, he kind of goes like, wait a minute, though. Petrilli is nervous. He's worried about, you know, this going away. And whether or not you would say we're kind of like, I don't know, the testing and the accountability movement, as far as I can tell, hasn't really eased anything.
No.
But John made us think about this idea of going, Petrilli might be really frightened by the non-bipartisan movement that's occurring right now in education, particularly the right-wing, very ultra-conservative attack on a full-out assault, Chris Rufo and the gang, Matt Walsh and the, you know, these people, their full-out assault, Moms for Liberty. They want to take public schools out. And according to John, Petrilli's nervous about that because, as you pointed out, though, without a thriving, and I use that word thriving very incorrectly, but without a thriving tax-based public education system, Petrilli and the grifters can't take money out of that market anymore. He really sees this as, oh my God, we've got to rally around bipartisanship to keep the mother load flowing the dollars to us. Because if these crazy people on the right, Moms for Liberty, Rufo, all of these people, if they win, our market gets shut down. And that is Petrilli's bipartisan wish. A bipartisan wish to go, can't we all just come back together again and realize that we love public schools and siphoning the money away from those schools for our markets? I think that's where we were kind of going with that piece. Numbers 844-967-2789. If you want to jump in with us, Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education. We are looking at a piece by Michael Petrilli, A Bridge Back to Bipartisan Education Reform, put out by the Fordham Foundation, A Generation at Risk, Call to Action. And the whole piece is that please bring back No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, because back in those days, Republicans and Democrats all agreed. They all got along. They all did what was right for, all right for markets. So Johnny, when we're getting up here on the first break of the show, really, and put this out there, if you are a No Child Left Behind advocate, or if you won that race to the top, we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Or if you're an educator out there, and we know our Wisconsin fans are listening out there, the Wisconsin teachers, you know, you want to get back to the bipartisan era of loving school and testing and accountability. You want yourself some No Child Left Behind Part 2, Race to the Top Part 2. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. 844-967-2789. More when we get back after the break.
Three little words no parent wants to hear.
My tummy hurts.
And it always seems to happen at the worst times. Like in the middle of the morning rush, when you still have homework to check and lunches to pack, and of course, you're already late for work. Luckily, there's Pepto-Kids. New Pepto-Kids gummies helps relieve occasional stomach upsets, turning those three words into these three words.
I feel better.
Bad time for stomach upsets? Good time for new Pepto-Kids gummies. Fast support for little tummies.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the thing for about five
minutes.
It was like
a week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Well, it was like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 844-967-2789. Give us a call. We are advocating for No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, a new era. Bring them back. No, Johnny and Tim would not be saying that. But we are talking about some people out there wondering if we can get back to the good old days of No Child Left Behind, the good old days of Race to the Top, those good old days, as Michael Petrilli points out, when Republicans and Democrats all agreed on taking taxpayer dollars from our public schools and siphoning them off to other providers, other markets, because my goodness, here we are now. Our guest from the extended pod that'll be coming out tomorrow, John Warner, points out, hey, Moms for Liberty, they're no joke, man. They are out to destroy public schools for good. And what's a good bipartisan capitalist going to do when the feeding trough is no longer available for the taxpayer dollars to be siphoned into my, I can fix your math problem, I can fix your reading problem curriculum, the professional development every teacher needs to be purchased from me. That was the good old days. 844-967-2789. I know it's hard to talk about this, Johnny.
I mean, well, like sometimes you just got to stand back and let, you know, like the groups that kind of made a mess of this make it even more messy so that we can get back to, you know, like really getting to the brass tacks of what do we want the purpose of public education to be and how do we support that? You know, in, like you mentioned it. And so those groups are pretty clear about the purposes they want. Mm-hmm. I'll summarize it. One of them wants their complete control of the value system taught in there. And so like that's, you know, I'll say a special interest group, maybe Moms of Liberty. And that in a democracy which we're in, schools not only like public schooling is not only under the jurisdiction of, you know, state as a state right, but it is fairly localized democratically into districts and school boards. And so by exercising all of our civic duty as democratic citizens, we have direct entry to being able to have a say and how and what is happening in schools, in a public school system. So in one sense, while I might not align myself with, you know, the Moms for Liberty special interest group, I'm pretty excited about them utilizing and illuminating the democratic process, which we all ought to be, you know, more active in. The flip side of that is, you know, the larger reform efforts that tend to come from a national level, that are, you know, saying, hold up, hold up, hold up. We're kind of afraid of this localization and democratic voice because it might undermine our one size fits all. Here's the best curriculum, buy it. Here's a really good deal on it that really is never a really good deal. And if you don't use it, you can't, you don't get any federal funds. So if you want, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like a paternalistic approach to state rights, where a national organization, you know, the federal government says, if you want funds for education, you better do what we say or you're not getting funded. And so, you know, this is we're in an unsettling moment. And usually it's these, you know, unsettling moments or catalytic events that spark change. And so what I like to do is step back a little bit and let it play out and illuminate like what's happening. We are seeing that democracy works. So let's roll up our sleeves and get in there. Like, let's not just leave it to Moms for Liberty. Maybe it's, you know, Schools for a Democratic Society.
Okay. So I'm, you're not defending Moms for Liberty's position. You're just pointing out, though, that in a democracy, Moms for Liberty right now are delivering using the democratic process to push their values on all of us. In other words, Moms for Liberty is using democracy.
Not, I don't want to even say using it. They're exercising their civic duty. You know, they're performing a civic duty as part of a democracy, of being part of that conversation. It is a call to all of us doing that. It shouldn't be one particular group with the privilege to do so, right? And so while I don't align myself with their agenda or their politics, I do in other groups. And so I believe strongly, like, we all have the civic duty to exercise and voice the importance of Black Lives Matter movement in schools, to exercise the right of children's, to the importance of children's rights in schools or social emotional learning. You know, these are things that we need to get serious about, regardless of our political identity, like whether we're Republican or Democrat, the democratic process being local. And that means, you know, like being involved in your school board, right? And school board elections and school board meetings. And that is part of what I'm saying is a democratic process. So I don't think Moms for Liberty are using it. That makes it sounds like kind of like it's a shady move. You know, they're putting to practice their democratic civic duty. We all in a democracy have a responsibility to be civicly engaged.
So they're using democracy to undermine democracy. I'm just messing. No, I don't know if I'm messing. Numbers 844-967-2789. We're No Child Left Behind reboot, A Generation at Risk. Back to the days when No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top was awesome. Not really. However, that's what we're talking. What a mess this is, though. But watching those people who advocated for that place in time when all Democrats and all Republicans got along. Although, Johnny, you pointed out something really interesting. I want to dig into this and use the federal government to bully in one way local jurisdictions, took the democracy out of potentially. This is getting really juicy and complex. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education.
Call us up. Let's
give us a call. Let's chop it up. Busted Pencils back after the break.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden trails former President Trump by 7 points in a hypothetical head-to-head matchup, according to the latest ABC News Washington Post poll. That poll also found that 40% of people said they would blame the president and congressional Democrats if the government shuts down next week. even though it's Republicans in the House who've been unable to agree to a spending deal. ABC's Alexis Christophorus explains the impacts of a possible shutdown.
Government workers deemed essential, such as military and law enforcement, would have to work without pay, though they would get back pay once the shutdown was over. National parks could shut down unless their states pay to keep them open, and some passport offices and federal buildings could also close.
President Biden will visit striking UAW workers this week. Talks continue in California between striking writers and Hollywood studios, increasing optimism that a deal could be close. And five people were killed when a train slammed into an SUV in Hillsborough County, Florida. This is ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Dig out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse. September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, Stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest. Oktoberfest in La Crosse. Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th at the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at OktoberfestUSA.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker, we are... You know, we're trying to come up with now. Okay, let's put this in the context. Mike Petrilli works for the Fordham Foundation, big advocate of No Child Left Behind, big advocate of Race to the Top, puts out a piece, A Bridge Back to Bipartisan Education, A Generation at Risk, really says, hey, look, man, in the 90s and in the early 2000s up through 2010, Democrats and Republicans all agreed that working together on the accountability, the reform movement, the over-testing, the brutalization of the brains of children and teachers, that was good times because we, quote, made academic gains. And I think we can dispute the fact that there were any academic gains that were ever made during that time. However, he's really worried because Moms for Liberty types of people are really taking it to the public school supporters to the possibility that, whoa, if Moms for Liberty practice democracy any more strongly, they might actually do away with public schools. And if they did away with public schools, what's a bipartisan reformer who's got a really good grift gonna do? Who am I gonna sell my products to when the tax dollars that I could have used, and I'm going back to this, Johnny, when I was able to harness the federal government as a powerful bludgeon to say, Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker, the kids you're teaching, you guys, you will use this product and this product alone. And I'm sitting out there going, well, I got that product and let me sell it to you since it's the only thing you're allowed to buy. Petrilli wants to go back to those days. Those were good old days. He's worried, though, that democracy in the form of Moms for Liberty, which I can't even believe I'm saying that, but democracy in the form of Moms for Liberty, he's worried about that. Johnny, help people understand more about the Moms for Liberty and democracy.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to speak on behalf of Moms.
No, I know. Right.
I'm not entirely knowledgeable of all of their organizational agendas, but I like any group, right? We all in a democratic society, and we live in a democracy, have the obligation to do civic duty, and that civic duty is more than just vote; it's participate in local government. And you know, that is, I mean, that is still a strong cultural, like, day in day out piece of, we'll say, like the Northeast, mm-hmm. right? You always hear about like town hall meetings in Vermont. We romanticize about it, but it is like that Jeffersonian idea where people in a local district, we're talking schools, come together for a town hall meeting or a board meeting. Right. And that school board is elected positions at the local level. So as we're more participatory in that, mm-hmm. like the groups that were mentioned, like Moms for Liberty, and there are certainly other groups, as we're more active and participatory in that, right, we're strengthening local democracy. Mm-hmm. We're bringing local voice to the decision making. That isn't a space where it's one perspective ought to rule, or even two. There ought not to be simply a Republican and a Democratic perspective. And in education, we know there hasn't been. Mm. Like, there are more understandings and local needs than that. It's diverse across our country, you know. And so one of the wonderful things about this is that it illuminates the example that there is power in local democracy. Mm. It does matter, and it does make a difference. Mm-hmm. And Moms for Liberty illuminates that. It becomes a threat to national curriculums. You know, it poses a threat to someone writing about the importance of having a national, you know, set standard for things. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, Tim, I'm not in favor of like really either party's perspective on this work, mm-hmm. but I like to step back and say, hey, this is a reminder.
Yeah.
That local democracy is incredibly important to the quality of education all of our children get.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that is part of our civic duty. Now right. We get into like, how do we find time for this? How do we allocate resources, and who and what groups have that? That's where we start to fold in the privilege and power of particular groups over others. Right. That's a whole separate show, a whole nother issue. But I want to get into like, it is incredibly important that we exercise not only our right, but our responsibility
mm-hmm.
to decision-making about education at a local level. Yeah. It is not only the responsibility of teachers or principals, and we can't just point fingers. We have to get involved, right? And so this is something that, while I'm putting a full disclaimer, I likely, from what I know, do not agree at all with Moms for Liberty. Mm-hmm. But I will say they're bringing to the forefront, again, the importance of local participation. Mm-hmm. And so I advocate for, we ought to be organizing around, you know, the groups that support why Black Lives Matter in all of our schools, why, you know, schools as sanctuaries for all children is important, mm-hmm. regardless of their citizenship status or whatnot. right? And so these are important children's rights issues that ought to be discussed and deliberated upon locally and not trickled down, whether we have a Republican or a Democrat president, not impact our schools. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, go ahead, have that out at a national level, because locally there is important democratic participation taking place. So that's where I get, I won't want to say, I cringed even saying excited about Moms for Liberty. I guess I can say I'm excited about anybody whose concern turns to action, right?
Right. I know you are laying that out there. I don't think anybody's listening now going, oh my God, Johnny Lupinacci
likes Moms for Liberty.
No, it's very clear.
But in a way, you know, I kind of am like, hey, Moms for Liberty is doing something here. Like, give them some props. Props to where props are due. It's stuff I don't want to see come to fruition. But that brings me to my other point, Tim, is I'm hammering hard on like our democratic civic responsibility. Here's sort of the underlying disclaimer that is also part of the democratic process. We all have a voice and our voice ought to be valued. Yes, that even means perspectives we don't agree with or that might be hurtful or harmful. However, in the democratic process and the civic responsibility we have, it's that all decisions ought to be then made with consideration and commitment to the common good. So I can voice things that maybe Moms for Liberty are voicing, but ultimately if they are anti-human rights or children's rights or anti-democratic in their, how they play out, then they don't get to come to fruition, but they absolutely ought to be part of that process.
Right. And that's the clarity that we needed to put out there. The number is 844-967.
Boom. Give us a call.
2789. We are, Democrats for Education Reform, not Democrats, Democrats, Republicans, bipartisanship, Moms for Liberty. My goodness, this is a mess. Now, pivot though, Johnny, again. I'm doing this right here. Okay, so now you got the Petrilli, the education reformers, the Democrats and the Republicans are like, whoa, wait a minute, you got Moms for Liberty. Well, they're out there doing their mess. And here go the lowly Democrats led by Secretary Cardona right now trying to say, yo, but what if some of us of what we say think matters? And I'm like, yo, okay, so really, Democrats, here's your first problem. You imagined that No Child Left Behind was a win for you. It wasn't.
Yeah.
But in Politico on, the 17th, here's the title. We've lost our advantage on education. Democrats grasp for wins on public schools. And then the piece proceeds to say, and this to me is the sad thing, the piece kind of makes Petrilli's point, which is Democrats, if you want to be relevant again, jump on the reform bipartisan bandwagon again, start advocating for choice, accountability, because if you're a Democrat and you want to be heard in this mess, that's where you need to locate yourself. Johnny, you're like, no.
Because this is, Petrilli's all about the smoke and mirrors to say, Democrats, if you want to be relevant, join our game and take on our agenda. And that's a win-win for the free enterprise marketization of education. They don't care whether it's Republican or Democrat, as long as everything gets moved to within the boundaries of what they're trying to do. Here's what I'll say, Tim, about this. And I think Petrilli's right about calling it a generation at risk, except I'm super excited about this generation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it is a generation that likely will not be Republican or Democrat.
They're
fed up with both of them. They understand that by and large, especially when it comes to topics of their lives in schools, they have not been served. They have been put in increased danger and their teachers demoralized. They've seen the quality of their education decline significantly around issues that shouldn't even be issues. Their safety, their well-being, their access to things as important as like food and shelter. And so there is a generation at risk according to the perspectives that ought to be worried about it, the Republican Absolutely. Party, the Democratic Party, because as things stand now, most of the young people coming up will have no interest in either's agenda. And that to me is absolutely a risk for those in power And it is absolutely exciting because they're seeing through, remember I said earlier, it's trying to shine a turd.
So
they're seeing from that object from which falls from a bull.
Oh.
This generation is seeing through that clearly. And that is a major risk to both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party.
But
so we got that one right. Generation.
Yeah, no, but now that you're making me think, though, too, is that, though, truly then, okay, the opportunity, and maybe Democrats, but this Politico piece kind of saying, like, Democrats, if you want to be relevant, you need to go back to advocating for reform. And what you just said, Johnny, though, is kind of the piece, and, you know, and see this on the Young Turks with St. Younger and these guys, you know, going, wait a minute, Democrat, you want to be relevant? You don't need to pivot to the market. You need to recognize that this true, Johnny, as you laid it out there, this true generation at risk, they are looking for and they are hungry to become a part of something, to make their voices heard, to really galvanize people to say, we want things to be better. You know what? They're coming out of this. I grew up in school lockdowns for school shootings. I don't want that anymore. I don't want my friend who I hang out with, I don't want him to miss school lunches because people have politicized and said, we're not given, like you're saying, they're active. And Democrats, or any, you know what, maybe anybody, if anybody wants to harness the public good, putting public schools back where they belong and recognizing and winning for this country, your opportunity is not to reclaim No Child Left Behind.
If anything, and I'm saying this as a supporter of years of supporting the Democratic Party, Tim.
Yeah.
If anything, they've shown that they have absolutely no backbone to the Republican agenda.
Absolutely.
And they show that they're going to be completely submissive and subservient to it time and time again when it comes to education. Well, young people are like, hey, I'm not going to be able to afford college. They're like, too bad we can't help you, Democratic Party. We might promise student loan relief or affordable higher education, but we're not going to get it for you.
We're not going to give it. We're not going to give it to you. Yeah, we're not going to deliver.
On issue after issue, they've failed. They've absolutely dropped the ball and done nothing in action to actually make schools safer, more inclusive, or higher quality for young people.
844-967-2789. What a mess, but what an opportunity, which is also to say this conversation is really going to get rich and deep tomorrow when we release the extended pod with Paul Thomas and John Warner. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. No Child Left Behind Part 2. No thank you. Moms for Liberty, Practicing Democracy. Oh my God, wait a minute. Let's make that stop. Democrats, backbone. We're giving you the opportunity, Democrats, to get a backbone. More Busted Pencils when we get back. It's Busted Pencils. We are back. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789. You have one more chance to give me and Johnny a call. 844-967-2789. A return to the days of No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top is just a wish of really weird people. And that's being nice, weird people. Here we are, though, Johnny. We've really pushed this idea of going, okay, recognize that when people are calling for bipartisanship, particularly around education, and that's maybe how we want to frame this, is that watch out. Bipartisanship in public education right now should be absolutely, you hear that and go, whoa, 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 whoa. That means they're coming back to take the tax dollars of my local public schools and pay their own grift, their own way. They're not really concerned about, as you pointed out, Johnny, the common good, Friday night football, what's good for the prom, what's good for the kindergarten parade. No, 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 no. They want to get back to the place where they could siphon the money off of the tax dollars from people who pay taxes for the public schools. They want access back to that money through curriculum, through the right tests, through the state-approved curriculum, through the mandated professional development. Those days were great when we were making lots of money. We're worried, though, too, that some of the push from more hardcore, a very anti-democratic view, such as Moms for Liberty, their takeover of some schools is frightening to the bipartisan effort to reclaim public schools for themselves. What a mess here. And then throw into that mix, and there are people out there going, and Democrats are right now running around going, we've lost public education. And it's like, Johnny, I'm like, well, yeah, you guys lost it, actually, as our guest in the extended pod, Paul Thomas, points out, from, you know, the Bill Clinton on. You guys, as Democrats, you've never really understood the reality in front of you of going, how do you harness public education to actually be, that's the power in what puts you forward. And Johnny, as you point out now, here we are. A true generation at risk. You know, I think of my son and my daughter. They are, you know, they're 23, they're 20 right now. They, producer Anya, the idea that no one is listening to them. And then you take, you know, think about this, the Parkland school shooting in 2017. You see those students out there now actively saying, listen to us, listen to us, listen to us. Democrats, you want an opportunity to become relevant? Grab on to the passion, the pleading with people that are saying, make a difference, not make some money, make a difference. Because, you know, I was talking about the show, you know, the extended pod that we'll release tomorrow. And it's just like, you know, we're thinking about this bipartisanship. And you, I don't know if you said this, but, you know, who is it that really, you know, Democrats, Republicans, Paul Thomas that said, you got to understand that once you're a billionaire, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you're a billionaire first. And recognize that if you're a billionaire first, just because you're a Democrat, and Paul really puts this hard on saying, and Democrats, a lot of the Democrats for bipartisan education reform fall into that camp of very wealthy, and the vision of schooling they have for my children isn't a vision of schooling they have for their children. So Democrats, you know what? Yeah, you want to be relevant. You know, we'll put this out there, the last part of the show. We don't need to beat up on Moms for Liberty. We don't need to beat up on MAGA right-wing Republican. We don't need to do that on this. We know where they are. They're using the civic active voice right now to make a difference, but they're advocating, as Johnny said, inhumane positions, positions that are harmful and not good for the public, the general public, and not good for children, not good for recognizing the individual rights of students and teachers and communities. But put that aside. Democrats, that is not your rallying call to say, but they vote for Moms for Liberty. Because that doesn't change my mind about you, because when you say, hey, vote for me, I'm not Moms for Liberty. I don't know what you are, though, because as far as I can tell, you might just be a Democrat for education reform, a Democrat for education reform. So when you come out as I'm against Moms for Liberty, Chris Rufo fascism. Yeah, but you haven't told us what you're for. And typically what you're for, Democrats, is that you're for some form of accountability testing. You want the grift back. You're not going to win on that. Democrats, you want to win. You want to galvanize and grab a hold of a youth, a generation that is at risk. They're out there. You need to make yourselves relevant. Johnny, I don't know, a little bit here, man.
I mean, I don't think the Democratic Party wants to do that.
Oh.
If they wanted to do that, they would have put forth candidates who do that work. But time and time again, what they do is, they harness that energy just long enough to build an interest in the party, to build up hope, and then pull out that rug and put in someone who will cave to the market agenda. And I won't say will cave completely to the Republican agenda, because I think both parties are played hard by, market liberals who get what they want out of both parties. And I've seen, at least now for my entire voting life, right, which is only now, I don't know, 3-4 cycles of presidencies, has been, let's really raise a whole lot of support around the Democratic Party as a grassroots organization and as a strong advocate for schools and education. And every Democratic candidate is the education president until they have enough support to not be. And then they happen. And that includes, I absolutely unapologetically love former president, I don't know, however you properly say that, Obama. However, it was just a train wreck. The Obama administration, furthered the agenda of reform in damaging ways. Arne Duncan and the Obama administration did. So, it's not a free pass. But time and time again, the rug gets pulled out. Right? And I don't believe that the party is interested in strengthening schools. I just don't.
I don't believe they're interested in winning, Johnny. I just don't believe they're interested. They're not winners. they just don't want to win. They don't want to deliver. So as much as we are aghast, Busted Pencils, fully leaded.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Stock up and save on the toughest filters in the business during Wix Filters Sale Days at your local Auto Value Parts store. Not only will you get the best deal of the season on our very best filters, but you'll also find deep discounts on oil, fluids, grease, batteries, and more. Upgrade your filters during Wix Filters Sale Days at your local Auto Value Parts store. See store for official sale dates. Auto Value. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
ABC News.